Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. By the time of our gospel reading today, Jesus was about 2 years old. The wise men had come and gone. Having found the place where the star rested, the scriptures say that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Matthew 2:11 goes on to say that, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Having delivered their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and having been warned to return to Herod, warned not to return to Herod, they returned to their own country by a different way. Now when they had gone, our readings today begin. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And as I pondered these things, as we talked about at the children's message, how big is God? And I can't help but wonder, were there other faithful people of whom maybe the Lord warned to get out of town? That's just my ponderings. Our Old Testament reading today recounts the work of the Lord and his bringing his people out of Egypt and slavery. According to the abundance of God's steadfast love, he had said of the people of Israel, "Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely." And he became their Savior. But they would not remain faithful. They would rebel and grieve God's Holy Spirit. So in his justice, though it pained his own heart, the Lord would discipline his people under the whip of the Egyptians. But in the fullness of time, in the time of God's salvation from Egyptian tyranny, he would cause his glorious arm to go out through the right hand of Moses to shepherd his people, to divide the waters of the Red Sea, to destroy the army of Pharaoh, and to lead his own people home, to lead them out of the bonds of slavery. And so Hosea the prophet has written of the Lord, saying, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And so he led them back home. In the same way that God had delivered Israel, so also he would call his only begotten son out of Egypt in order that he might live to die on a cross, to redeem his people from their sin. But have you ever wondered why Egypt? Why Egypt? I mean, after all, up to that point, they had a pretty lousy track record with God's people. So why Egypt? At that time, Egypt was a Roman province. So politically, it seemed like a logical choice because Herod had no jurisdiction there, so it would be a good place to be out of his reach. And besides that, there were some folks, some Hebrews, who had stayed behind in Goshen after the Exodus with their flocks and their herds. These could serve to offer the Holy Family a sense of community if they chose to go there. But perhaps the Lord also had the people of Egypt themselves in mind, that they, as a pagan people, might also be given reason to rejoice in the coming of the Christ child. And give them a reason he did. After all, I mean, how many Gentile peoples can say that the infant Christ has lived physically in their land? For even as we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem, Christians in Egypt also celebrate the birth of Christ by retracing of the advent of the Holy Family as refugees into their country. Egyptian legend has it that Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus entered Egypt by way of El Kantara, that frontier, along with an unnamed midwife and a donkey. Egyptian legend further says that they followed the Sinai road that is used by the Hyksos, leaders of the Semitic nomads, probably not a whole lot of use there. Hebrew patriarchs also used this road, as had Alexander's army. Having sold the gifts of the Magi, Joseph would move his family past Heliopolis, which is, if you got, I don't know if I can do Egypt here. Anyway, Egypt is here. You've got the Sinai Peninsula over here. Right about up in here is where Heliopolis was, and they would have gone right about the middle of the country, and they would have hunkered down right there in the middle of Egypt, deep in the upper portion of Egypt. And there they waited for the Lord until he would tell them that it was safe to go back to the land of Israel. And so despite Egypt's lousy track record, Egypt was given reason to rejoice in the Lord. In our gospel reading, Joseph, having been warned by an angel in a dream, wasted no time in fleeing with Jesus and his mother that very night to the land of Egypt. A guardian angel was sent from the Lord, from the Father, to direct the movements of God's obedient servants, that the promised Savior might live to fight another day. In all these things, our reading speak of God's unwavering determination to free his people from the tyrant of this broken world and the sin that had held mankind captive. In these things of our readings assure us that God's plan of salvation has gone according to his design. By way of the cross, Jesus has paid the full penalty for sin. And through faith in him, we have all received adoption as sons and daughters, that by his word and sacraments, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, proclaiming, Abba, Father, a term of nearness and endearment. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, us, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. In our readings today, the Lord, by his sending angels to direct the movements of the Magi, to direct movements of Joseph and Mary, offers to us evidence that he is actively involved in our lives, and that no enemy is able to rob his people, to rob you of your salvation. Because in the mercy of God's redemption, he also simultaneously ushers in the day of vengeance on all hostile demonic foes. The final execution of judgment will come when the peoples and the kingdoms of all nations of the world all appear before the throne of the ascended Lord. Some will appear for judgment, some for blessings. But as we consider the things we have experienced in this past year, as we wonder what this coming year holds in store, our readings remind us that the Lord cares about and is actively involved in the everyday things of our lives. The fullness of time had come for the Son of God to assume the nature of his unity in his person. That Christ Jesus was forever more in one person at the same time, true and eternal God, and also a human being. The fullness of time had come for Jesus to be born, but his hour, the hour of his death, had not. In the fullness of time, the battle of the ages had come to the earth. Unbeknown to the devil, the tyrant ruler of this sin-broken world, unbeknownst to him, God himself was born behind enemy lines. But when the Magi had asked Herod, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" they kind of let the cat out of the bag. And so at that very moment, the devil went into a tyrant's rage. Bent on keeping mankind enslaved forever, the devil would do everything in his power to find and to kill the Son of God before he did reach the hour of his cross. And he didn't care who he hurt in the process. And so by the hand of Herod, the devil attacked the innocents. Seems the devil always attacks the little ones. Therefore, let us not be distracted by the things going on in the world around us. Let us stand watch over the little ones, because it seems that the devil always attacks the innocents. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted because they were not. This passage, as originally penned by Jeremiah, is a narrative of a vision with reference to the deportation of Israel into captivity. Rachel being the representative mother of the nation, Ramah having been a fortress of Israel on the frontier of Israel, where captives were collected for deportation into exile. And so Israel wept for her children. And so in the same sorrow of that prophetic passage, Matthew laments the evil of Herod, relating the sorrow of the mothers of Bethlehem to the sorrow of Rachel, who centuries earlier in the same region had died during childbirth. And so with the same great sorrow of those who mourned for the death and destruction of Israel, for those who mourned for Rachel and her child, so the daughters of Rachel wept for their children in Bethlehem, for they were no more. And they wept with such great sorrow that they could not be comforted. As I studied this week, I found myself stuck. I found myself stuck on the horrible things that Herod had done to the families of Bethlehem. I tried to ignore it. I tried not to talk about it or even read it. I thought about deleting it from the readings. But like an elephant in a room, these things would not be ignored. The slaughter of the innocents of which Herod is guilty is just one example of the things that people, that we human beings are capable of doing when human beings oppose the Lord and reject his commandments. But praise be to God, the story doesn't end there. Praise be to God that in the fullness of time, Jesus did enter the world. And praise be to God that when his hour had come, Jesus defeated all hostile demonic foes by willingly dying on a cross. In that very hour, your sin lost its power over you. In the events of our readings today, our gospel reading in particular, I'm reminded that the Lord does not expect me to always understand what he's doing, but he does expect me to trust him, especially in the things that I don't understand. Egypt would be home to Jesus and his earthly parents until the loathsome and painful death of Herod, and you can ask me about that later, and we can go into a little more details if you like. Historians say that he died sometime later in that same year. Our readings today speak of God's steadfast love. Our readings today demonstrate God's goodness in action. Our readings demonstrate his loyalty to his people, recounting for Israel his work in their exodus from Egypt, recounting his care for Mary and Joseph as he commands his holy angels concerning them. For they would indeed escape from the ragings of Herod, not to mention later on when they would escape his successor Archelaus, who would turn out to be every bit as evil and heartless as was Herod. In these seemingly narrow escapes of Joseph and Mary, we are reminded that we also, whenever we escape from disaster or danger, we ought to remember that God still commands his holy angels concerning his people. May we, in the escapes of life, recognize God's heart and his surpassing love toward us. And may we give thanks for the narrow escapes of which we are completely and blissfully unaware of. As we read today, as we read today, of how the Lord has cared for his people throughout history, we are encouraged to trust that he will continue to care for us as we go into this new year. So as we anticipate what the Lord holds in store for us in this new year, let us rejoice that he has already protected us from our greatest enemies of sin, death, and hell. For when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born under the law, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, to redeem you and I, so that no matter how lousy your track record might be, you have reason to rejoice. Because through faith in Jesus, you are a child of God. And because you are a child of God, you are no longer a slave to your past. I'd like to repeat that one. Because of your faith in Jesus, you are no longer a slave to the things of your past. So as you move into this new year, may you be encouraged by God's faithfulness to you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.